Okay, so we're going to spend the next little while talking about at a very theoretical level how cellular networks are designed. And so again, Stallings has a bit of this. The high level. Goldsmith talks a little bit about the layout of cellular networks, Black does as well, and sort of the more details of different techniques. Reed is a good reference, certain portions of it. It's pretty old now, so, but, again, some of them at a very high level. The principles are still similar. So. Okay. So, today we're just going to get a start on this. We're just going to look at how cellular networks are organized and how they operate. And within this context, cellular design is some geometric fiddling around. And so we'll take that up next lecture. And so the goal of a cellular network is to maintain large-scale coverage and mobility. So people should be able to get access anywhere they are, and as they move around, they should be able to maintain that access. Because we're using mobile devices, we need to minimize as much as possible the power consumption. You're running off the battery and you don't need to be running out. The way that the large scale coverage is achieved, so as we know, we only have a certain amount of spectrum, but if you put enough distance between an access point and a user, then another access point far enough away can use the same spectrum because of distance and the fact that your power is dropping off at some sort of exponential rate. So you only have a limited number of channels that can fit into your spectrum, but again, if you get far enough away, one from the other, you can use those channels. So, the way coverage is achieved then is by just having access points arranged frequently enough that your mobile user is always going to be in the range of ideally at least one of the access points. Because of the power constraints, you can think of the access point as operating in a certain area, so we can circle around that access point, or base stations, we'll call it. And so there will be overlap between any base station and adjacent base station. That's how you get coverage. The basic principle is you don't want to use the same channels in any two adjacent base stations. A lot of what we look at next week is how do we allocate these channels so that they're not too close together, we get decent coverage, etc. As an ideal, we're going to assume that we can arrange we can put our base stations in anywhere we want, so that we're going to put them in have uniform intervals. Obviously, you know, if you're, again, thinking about terrain or sittings and planning permission, that's not necessarily possible. But when we do our calculation, we'll see if it is. Okay. So now mobility is going to require that the connection changes from base station to base station as the users move from the range of one into the range of the other. Okay. So, again, we think of being able to provide some sort of uniform arrangements of base stations. They all have some range. There's an overlap between the range of two base stations. But there would be, you know, somehow we just decide on the coverage area. We decide when the user should be connected to one base station or the other. So it's not, you know, that connection is what provides you coverage, but then you have to connect back into some other network, either the telephone network or the internet. And so the first step of that is your mobile switching center, which communicates with a number of these base stations, and it can be involved in handover, in making the decision of where you move. It can be involved in the decision of what channels any base station communicate over. And it's also involved in relaying any signal from the users back to the network and relay any signals. Any signals from the users back into the main network, and signals from the main network out to the users to the user. Okay. So the main topics we're going to look at are frequency reuse. Again, how do we decide what channels each base station should have access to use for communication purposes. And we want to do that so that we can limit interference to acceptable levels. So we have to have channels using the same frequency ranges. So how do we make sure they don't interfere with each other unacceptably? And so this is going to be a combination of how you arrange your base stations and allocate channels to them, and then how you moderate power through the base station. Okay. So power management refers to sort of power levels for individual communications. And, well, we obviously need to have a strong enough signal that we overcome noise levels. The strength of the signal is going to have an impact on how much that signal interferes with distant communications, so we want to be able to sort of limit it so it's not too much. And we also want to have the power levels as low as possible to maintain the battery life of the mobile unit. So a few words on how that works. So we now maybe have a set of channels in a cell, and we can ask the question, how many users can we support? And typically what you think of is that any given you user is not on their phone 24/7. Some may come close, but you know,
in general, they're going to be using phone a
certain percentage of the time. So you can have more users in the system than you have channels available for them, because you make the assumption they're not all going to want to be on the phone at the same time. This problem's been well studied for wired networks, and we'll have a look at those results. The results are complicated slightly by the fact that you have mobility, so it makes the representing the user a little more complicated. So people who took 509 last term dealt with that, but you guys won't unless you continue on for the fifth year. Okay, and so we're going to look at sort of a very basic and uniform allocation of channels. So we're going to assume that each base station gets the same number of channels, etc. We'll then look at increasing capacity, really their change setup of how exactly they're doing things, or possibly we can share out channels in slightly different ways. Okay, so just to, again, get the picture firmly in our heads, we're going to think of making a call. So what do you need to do to make a connection with our particular phone network? So at the user end, we have base stations, which communicate with our users called mobile units. In terms of terminology, uplink refers to the signal from the user to the base station. Downlink refers to the signal from the base station to mobile units. Going back from the base stations, they then communicate with, again, the terminology varies if you think about more recent systems, it varies again, but something like a mobile switching center, and this again has some role in coordinating the activities of the base stations, and also from the user's point of view, to make sure that the connection is made back into the main network. Okay, so the base station, the MSC, is like the first link into the network. The user for the base station is the first one, and then that has to be connected back. Okay. So if we think about making a call, then the caller needs to do is to connect to the base station. Typically, callers will also have to register with the network. And then, when you want to contact the user, the network has to find them. Okay, so they might have started at one base station and then moving. And so, how do you find them as we're moving? And so, paging is the idea of finding them. Once the connection is made, well, they can still keep moving. And if they move, then they're going to move. This end connection is going to move from one base station to another. So, possibly during the duration of the call, we're going to have what's called handover. So, we're going to move from our end link being with one base station to our end link with a different base station. Okay. So, initially, you know, when a user turns the phone on, then they have to register with the network, so they have to let the network know that they're there. Okay, and so there's a bunch of sort of control signaling going on. The base stations are broadcasting signals, which the mobile units know, you know, on certain frequencies, which the mobile units or users can then scan and determine what's the strongest signal and try and make a link with whoever's giving you the strongest signal. Okay. When they decide who to talk to, then they need to sort of get a few details set out, register their presence in and register their presence in the network. And so they have to do authentication to identify themselves and say that they have a right to connect to this network, and then their location is made. Now, again, if a mobile user is now trying to make a call another mobile user, then it has to send that request over another control channel to base station, and the base station will then forward on that request. At this point, the NTSL NFC needs to find the callee, the person who's being called. Okay. And so the process of looking for the caller is what's called paging. So the NFC knows that the caller is somewhere within their region of influence, but will not know the exact base station that the colleague is, whose region the colleague is in. Okay, so paging searches through all the different base stations for the colleague, and when they page, they can then accept the call, and again, the signal to their base station, and then on to the NTSL. The NTSL sets up, assuming the circuit switch is set up, circuit between the caller and callee, and again, that circuit has to be set up for the user, the base station, the NTSL, and back out to base station to second user. And so as long as the two users stay within the range of those base stations, that's it. But if the users are then moving, they will potentially move out of the range of their current base station, and at that point they have to be handed over to another base station, okay, which will mean finding, you know, some channel over which they can connect. And so, handover or handoff occurs, you know, again, when the user moves out of the range of a given base station. And there's a number of various flavors, but some some combination, or for now some combination, base station and the mobile unit, make a decision as to when that handoff should occur and to what base station they should be. It'll be based on performance metrics, so from the user point of view, or the important point of view, the signal strength, just getting the best connection, the strongest connection. But from the network point of view, they may also be concerned with things like cell congestion. So if a user is in a busy cell, so most of the channels are occupied and they're moving towards a less busy cell, then they might be handed off earlier. Now you have to be a bit careful using signal strength. Again, what you can think of is if you're moving between two base stations, maybe you're on the border, then if all you do is take the strongest signal, well, that can be changing quite rapidly if you're sort of again right between the two stations. Okay, so it'll go this way, one stronger, go this way, the other stronger. So you can get a lot of bouncing. So typically, you don't want to just take the strongest signal. You'll add in some other factor. You can look at the threshold for the other signal, say, thinking about what would be an acceptable level for the signal, and don't change unless it drops below that. Even if they're not even stronger, as long as the previous one's acceptable, just a problem. Strongest signal hysteresis, you only change if the signal's stronger by a fixed amount. So if you've got relatively equal signals, you'll just stick with one of them. If one of them is significantly better, then you might move. And of course, you can always combine. Other things that are considered predictive techniques, so this just based on current measurements, but it might be advantageous to try and decide, is the user walking along the border or are they walking towards a base station? If they're walking away from one base station towards another, well, then you might want to change them. If they're walking along the border, okay, so let's just start
looking at cellular design. We'll stop short of doing any of the maths this time. It's all geometric, but it takes a little thinking about.
So. Again, the concept of cellular design is going to be based on the propagation effects and the assumption that a signal is decreasing in strength with some power of the distance. So what we're going to assume, we're going to make a couple assumptions. First of all, we're going to assume that all of the base stations are transmitting at the same level. They're all decreasing at the same amount. Okay. So we're in space somewhere, right? And furthermore, we're going to again assume that we can reach the base stations uniformly. Okay. Now, if the power is decreasing exponentially, then at some point, it's going to interfere very little with any other signals using the same frequency. So if you get two base stations far apart enough from each other, then even if they're transmitting at the same frequency, they're not really going to be large.
However, there will always be, if you are transmitting the same frequency, there will always be some interference introduced by that. Okay. And so we refer to the interference of base stations using the same frequencies as co-channel interference. Now, there's two basic cases, and okay, so really shouldn't call it frequency division multiplier, but so we'll just call it orthogonal channels. And the assumption here is that the channels on the channel spectrum, because we're not using a spectrum technique, we have a narrowband technique, and the spectrum is broken up into unshared, non-interfering, individual channels. So, some sort of thing is some sort of frequency division multiplier. The other option is that we're using the split spectrum technique. So, the channels are defined within our codes. And if the codes aren't orthogonal, then even within a given cell, for a single base station, the signals can be interfering with each other. We're going to spend most of our time talking about this orthogonal case. So within a cell, we have a set of channels. They don't interfere with each other. You might get interference from cells at a distance. We'll say a few words about the CDMA case just for completeness. The main difference is that you get interference from channels within the cell and surrounding the cell. Okay. Our goal is going to be to limit the interference from multiple signals using the same channel. We refer to the interference as using the signal to interference ratio. And again, the case that we're mainly considering is that this interference is caused by different cells at a distance using the same channels. And you can minimize that interference by by increasing the distance. So Reeves, he minimizes the distance with the interference by putting the Reeves channels farther away from each other. With the spread spectrum technique, again, you're going to get interference within a cell and also from the immediate neighbor cells. Okay. How much interference is going to depend on the codes that you use. So note that we now have two factors of interfering with the signal. You have still have noise, so your signal is going to have to be strong enough to overcome noise. But then you again are having additional interference from other users. Okay. So again, what you want to do is not use your channels too close to each other, but rather reuse them in some greater distance. And so you can see in this example, we've broken all of our channels, the entire possible set of channels, into seven pieces and assigned them to a cluster of seven cells. And then we And it has the effect that the channels are never being used in adjacent cells. Some way of counting exactly what the intervening distance is in terms of cell radius. But we've at least spread out a little bit. We're not having two cells side by side using the same channels.
Okay.
What we see here also is an hexagonal cell shape. So each cell ends up
represented by six hexagon, six sides, which means it has
six adjacent
cells. This isn't the only possible shape.
It's one of the common ones because if you start combining clusters of these cells, they are also directly
hexagonal. And so the shape repeats itself and tends to be the sort of reasonable layout.
Again, what influences cell shape? Well, we want to have as little overlap between cell coverage as possible. You can't completely eliminate it, or else you wouldn't be able to do handover because you wouldn't know where to do it. And ideally the coverage area, of course, is the fixation circular, and so the shape that you get comes from where you take the intersection. And again, the hexagons are a commonly used shape.
Another possibility it's argued is more realistic in US style cities where they're laid out on a grid is a diamond shape.
And so here, the antenna of the base stations would line up with the
layout of the buildings, which is, again, on a grid. Okay.
If you're out in the middle of the field or an open country, you might look at that hexagons. What you do want is for the shape to be what's called tessellating, which means they can be arranged to cover an entire area with no overlap.
Okay. And so as we saw before,
we have hexagons and we take groups of them and lay out those groups so that we get
full coverage without overlap. So the size of our cells are going to be sort of related to the power needed for signaling. The smaller the cell, less power you need.
This is actually not quite right.
If they're all at the same power level, what
reduces co-channel interference is actually distance. They're already at the same power level. It's not the power level, but rather the distance and how that causes the difference. Okay. So, again, what we're going to see is that there's this interplay between power needed to overcome noise, the distance between cells, and therefore how many cells you need to have between
base stations, and how that interplays with how you navigate channels. So that's what we'll have a look at next week. Final comment about arranging these cells is, again, we're going to assume that everything is nice and even and uniform. In reality, that's not going to be possible. The placement of base stations is regulated by planning issues, by the terrain, etc. Typically, it's very complicated to work out the exact arrangement of placement of antennas, of base stations, and then the channel allocation. But again, for next time, we're going to assume that everything's nice and uniform. Okay. So, by and large, what we're looking for is we have an overall channel set. We're going to divide it so that we can assign that channel set to a cluster and divide the channels evenly amongst those clusters. And the goal of doing that is going to be so that you can put the reuse of channels at a certain distance. That distance, again, is going to be thought of as a function of intervening cells more than an actual physical distance. And so we're going to have a target of sort of how far away these need to be one from the other. And as I say, it's actually this sort of geometric exercise. But it gets a little fiddly, so we're going to leave it till next lecture when we're all hopefully awake and ready to think about it. So that's it for today, and I will see you guys next week.